morning. It's good to hear you connecting with each other. We're glad you're here. We want to draw your attention to a few things this morning as they relate to our life together here at church. You'll find there's a connection card in your bulletin. We invite you all to fill that out during worship and to place it in the offering plate as it comes by during the time of offering. You'll find there are next steps on the back, places to indicate if you'd like a name tag. If you're visiting today, we especially invite you to fill that out, and we're delighted that you're here today. We usually have a lemonade on the lawn throughout the summer, and today's lemonade on the lawn has changed locations. We're going to move out to the Washington Street sidewalk. There are Kids for Kids lemonade stands happening in Ann Arbor this weekend to raise funds for immigrant families together. And so we are going to join in on that. So fellowship time will be happening in the fellowship hall after worship. The kids and I, and hopefully some of the kids' parents, will be out at the sidewalk selling lemonade. We invite you to come to give generously. We'll talk more about that during Time as Children today. We're in the season of talking about parking. You've heard about the air garage parking. If you haven't gotten a code yet, you can get that from Kat today. If you have questions, please see Kat or Paula or me, and we'll figure that out. And do I see Sue Ellen? There she is. And Sue Ellen's going to give you another parking announcement about something else exciting.
This is the week, love it or hate it, art fairs are coming. And actually here at First Baptist, we do love it because it provides us with over $2,000 in easy funds that you don't have to do car washes and sell candy and things for two very important ministries, our Vespers meals on Tuesdays and our youth ministry program. So we do love it. We only need two more volunteers, a Friday evening and a Saturday morning. Sign up is at the information counter. If you're able to give 2 hours, we'd love it. Now, we do have worship as usual next Sunday. You will need one of these that hopefully you got today. And you will be part, and Nancy back there has them if you didn't get them. If you forget it at home, or it goes through the washing machine during the week or something like that, we will have Nancy and probably somebody from the Methodist Church also standing at the entrance to the parking structure to give you one. You will not get free parking in the parking structure unless you have one of these. And we will make sure that you have one. Please come to church. It's free parking. Plus, you're here before everybody else arrives because the fairs don't open till noon on Sunday, and you're here already, and you may stay for the rest of the day for free parking in the structure. So it's a good deal. Please come. During the week, we want you also to come. We will always have parking for First Baptist people. Okay, you come into the lot. One caution, though. We close off our regular entrance. You need to arrive to the lot at our exit, our regular exit. So don't get thrown by that. Come, we will double park you in front of an artist or in back of an artist. Keep your keys. You're welcome to come and shop or volunteer or whatever. We will always have space for First Baptist people. Don't let the art fairs freak you out. We will always have space for you. On Sunday morning, next Sunday, if you are feeling that you don't want to do the structure, we will provide a few parking spaces for our folks who, find the structure too difficult to manage. So just let me know or let Nancy know, and we'll make sure we have a space saved for you. Any questions? Talk to me, talk to Nancy, give us a call during the week.
So with Art Fair comes parking announcements, and also we know that often it can be super hot when the art fair is here. You all know that. I see you nodding your heads. We do have a plan. If it gets too warm in here for worship, our plan is to go into the fellowship hall and do worship as needed when it gets too hot here. So don't let that either be a deterrent. We want you to come to worship. Do you hear that? We love you. We're glad you're here. Keep coming. All right. I think those are all of our logistical announcements. Thank you for doing that important fundraiser, Sue Ellen, for leading us in that. In case you didn't see in your email this week, our beloved Helen Louise died on Tuesday morning, surrounded by her family. We're grateful for her life and the gift she was to us and to many. So now, let us worship the living God with soft hearts and clear minds and ready spirits. Please stand for the invocation if you are able to do so. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we gather together to worship this morning, we are thankful for another opportunity to do so. We ask your blessing on this time together as we praise and pray, reflect and learn. Open our hearts and minds to your wisdom and love, that we may go back into the world and live as the people you would have us be in it. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.
Thank you. wise rule to the king, O God, the gift of just rule to the crown prince. Let the mountains give exuberant witness, shape the hills with the contours of right living. Be rainfall on cut grass, earth refreshing rain showers. Blessed always God's blazing glory. All earth brims with God's glory. Yes, and yes, and yes. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Let's keep praying together. Creator God, we pray for all people in their daily life and work, for our families and friends and neighbors, and for those who are alone. For this community of First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, for the nation and the world, for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace. We specifically give thanks for the good work of Hope Clinic and Amos Health and Hope, and for Astrid Beck, who is in Nicaragua this week. We pray for the just and proper use of your creation, for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. We pray for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. We pray for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. We pray for the peace and unity of the Church of God, for all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth. We pray for all who have died in the communion of your church, especially Helen Louise, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We ask for healing and wholeness for the family and friends of Helen Louise Bowser, for Maria Piriantosi, for Peter Beauvais, for Jean Evie, for Joan and Lynn Blunt, for Stacy Simpson Duke, for Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Doris George, Juanita Dieterle, for Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Betty, Lorna, Anna Kirstein, Saw Nae Lin, Robert L., Marissa Alaniz. We pray for Eldi and Arafath, for all undocumented immigrants, migrant children, and families, for Lily, Kamara, and family, for Nancy Nguyen, for Amy L., for Bonnie, Dale, and Dawn. In silence now, we lift our prayers of concern and of thanksgiving to you. Forgive, strengthen, and empower us to usher in your kingdom. And now, as Jesus taught us to pray, we do so together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We have heard the words of a prophet who wrote for people experiencing years of exile. He wrote for people who knew separation, despair, hopelessness, and could not see a way out. Isaiah imagined a different way. Now Paul, generations later, encourages people of faith to continue to hope with imagination. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of God's great power. The word of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward now for a time as children with Zan.
Singing this song and moving our bodies, and those last words say, open in us the gates of your kingdom. And we come together on Sundays to keep learning about what that means. What is God's kingdom like, and what does it mean for us to be a part of it? To have God's kingdom in us and work through us, all these things. And we heard some very clear words this morning in the psalm. The psalmist said, please stand up for the poor. Help the children of the needy. You may have been hearing about families who have come from Guatemala or Honduras who come to the United States for safety, and they're seeking asylum are the big words. And there's a process for that. And when they come, families are not staying together. Families are being separated. And so when I hear these words, I take them very seriously. Please stand up for the poor. Help the children of the needy. So there are children who need to be connected with their parents or their aunts or their uncles. And we hear in the scripture from way back that that's our work together. So, you kiddos, today we have some important work to do. You may have heard about this too. After church, we're going to have a lemonade stand. I don't know if we've ever had a lemonade stand at church before, but we're going to have one today. We're going to go out by the parking lot, and we're going to do that work in just a little bit, and we're going to invite people to come, and folks will give donations for a glass of lemonade, and that money will go to a group called Immigrant Families Together, and that group does some important things. They help families drive to each other. They do big caravans, finding people to drive from city to city to help moms get to their kids. Or uncles to their nieces and nephews. They also help pay some bond money to help them get out of where they are so they can get to their families. And then they support them with places to live and bring them to grocery stores, all these good things. And so that's what we're going to do together. We're going to take these words from the psalm, stand up for the poor and help the children. We're going to do that today. And did you hear how the psalm ended? We all said together, yes. And yes, and yes. Today is about those yeses. Will you pray with me and do something funny? Can you pray like you're drinking a glass of lemonade? Can you put your hand up there like you're about, yeah. Can you pray with your hand there? Let's try it. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, help us be grateful and generous and mindful of other children who need help. Help us say yes and yes and yes. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength, our love, our Redeemer. Amen. I grew up in a parsonage next door to a church that had a great big parking lot. At least as a kid, I thought it was a great big parking lot. Now I know that it was a puny parking lot. It had room for maybe 12 cars. But to us kids, it was huge, and it was also covered in dirt and gravel. And so my sisters and brother and I spent hours scratching with a stick highways and roads and off-ramps and intersections into the parking lot, because usually there weren't any cars on it during the week. And then we got on our bicycles and we rode over the highway system that we had created, imagining ourselves grown up and driving to important places. I don't do that anymore. Imagination is a wonderful thing in a child, but when we grow up, we think that drawing highways in the dirt is silly. They don't go anywhere. They don't accomplish anything. We associate imagination with daydreaming and mind wandering. It's not something to put on your resume. It's not the quality you want in your rocket scientist or your brain surgeon or your certified financial planner or your auto mechanic. In the real world, we want sensible people who know the rules, who know technology, who pay attention to the tangible and the rational. When it's time to cut the school budget, art goes first. A character in the play, Saint Joan, by George Bernard Shaw, speaks to that. This is a loud-mouthed character called Captain Robert, and he doesn't think much of the young Joan of Arc's claim that she hears voices, the voices of saints who speak on behalf of God. He says, "These voices do not come from God. They come from your imagination." And she says, "Of course. That is how the messages of God come to us." Imagination has always made people feel uncomfortable. In the medieval age, Christian authorities executed people for owning copies of the Bible because scripture in the hands of lay people was a threat to the authority of the church. They might read them and then think for themselves. Not so long ago, American slave owners would not allow slaves to learn how to read, for the same reason. So Martin Luther came along in the 1500s, not to be confused with Martin Luther King Jr., who came along later, and shook up the church by arguing that the Bible, as the Word of God, was the center of Christian faith, and it belonged to everybody. So hooray for the Reformation. But it led to its own absurdities, including so much emphasis on scripture alone that anything not strictly biblical was considered unholy, like poems and paintings and hymns. Of course, the Bible is full of poetry and images and hymns. Some churches only allowed psalms to be sung as hymns. Way into the 20th century, they could have done worse, but that means that they never sang "Amazing Grace" or "Joy to the World" or Jesus shall reign. And fear of imagination, the ability or the tendency to form images, goes back further than that. The Ten Commandments forbids image making as idolatry, and books have been banned for centuries, all the way up to Harry Potter. And actually, those book banners are right. Imagination is dangerous. It threatens the status quo. Every totalitarian regime is frightened of the artist, Walter Brueggemann writes, because we can't control imagination. It is not tamed or tameable. Therefore, we can't be sure how it's going to come out. Kathleen Norris' words. Church leaders often see it as their mission to make things safe and sound. We hate conflict. I have. My youth pastor once wanted to take the kids to a conference that was offering a lot of great things for youth, but also had what I thought was terrible theology. I was sure it would lead to conflict and controversy. But he imagined that it might provoke thinking and deeper understanding and lead to questions and new ideas. And he was right. That is what the disciples and the prophets are all about. Isaiah was one who imagined the world as God would have it, and boldly. His time looked like more darkness than light, drought, crop failure, inflation, corruption, blaming, greed. But Isaiah refused to see only with his eyes. He used his imagination to see God's promises come true. What would that look like? People, all people coming together, crossing borders, breaking free from poverty and the misery of exile to abundant life. Home. He imagined for his time what Jesus imagined for his and ours. In Henry Nouwen's words, it looks like this. There are no countries to be conquered, no ideologies to be imposed, no people to be dominated. There are only children, women, and men to be loved. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that we cannot possibly be people of faith unless we are people of imagination. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen with eyes. He knew what Paul meant when he said, you have to have the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know the hope to which God has called you. So Martin Luther King Jr. imagined that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by who they are inside. And he dreamed that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. The words of a prophet, Isaiah. Prophetic imagination, the title of Brueggemann's book, looks at the dark places and sees an alternative to what the dominant culture says has to be, to what the king says is the only way The prophet could be a person, could be a church. Imagine something else. And does not wait to ask if the vision can be implemented, if there's enough money in the budget, because implementation means nothing until the vision can be imagined. First, imagination, then implementation. Paul and Stacy have put imagination, art, at the center of their sabbatical. They have put together a group of artists to help us imagine a better world. One that will not harm children, for one. Someone imagined children selling lemonade to help children. And today you can buy a cup outside the door on your way home. This is how we change the world. A lot of us let our imaginations run dry. We grow up and we get busy and distracted and we stop drawing highways in the dirt. And we leave imagination to the children or the mad or the saints or the civil rights workers or the poets. But imagination is God's gift to all of us. And we had better use it. Joan herself in Shaw's play is very clear. Charles, the King of France, is annoyed that God seems to speak to this peasant girl, but not to him. "Oh, your voices," he says. "Why don't the voices come to me? I'm the king, not you." To which Joan replies, "They do come to you, but you do not hear them." There is movement in the practice of worship. There is first the coming together from many different places into the presence of God. Then there is receiving the gift of the presence of God and one another. And then there is giving in response to the blessings beyond measure that we receive. I invite you now to give.
Thank you.
ages and times, we thank you for the word of your ancient prophets and disciples who keep teaching us what is good, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you and with one another. Let us use our imaginations and our generosity to bring light and love and all that is good to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Extend the light of God, the love that God has for us, to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.